it connected me with a lot of people in town, and just my presence being there with the camera and making them feel comfortable in front of the camera, that led to a lot of different jobs. You know, like if you can make people feel comfortable in front of the camera, you know, people really value that. And if you think about it, that's, you know, as a photographer, you know, that's one of the things that can really help you out, you know, in a great deal. If you can take anybody, a stranger off the street, make them feel comfortable in front of your camera.
Thanks for joining us on an episode of It Was F8, brought to you by Don's Photo, where we talk to your Canadian content creators. I'm your host, Jess Loso, and today I am joined by Arthur Ward. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. So for anybody that doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and the kind of content that you create.
Yeah, I started dabbling in videography at around 2009 to 2010. And then I pretty much focused on just photography when I got into university around 2011, because I just looked at video, and at the time I was doing a lot of After Effects work and stuff like that, visual effects, which was, you know, pretty early back then on just a little Toshiba laptop, putting stuff to render.
Oh, and yes.
Going to sleep and waking up to see if it turned out. So when I got into university, I was like, you know what, this takes up too much time. Mm-hmm. Let me just focus on the photography side of things, more manageable. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just got into photography then and there. Started working for contributing to the student newspaper at my university, University of Regina. Mm-hmm. And then before long, I got a contract as a freelance photographer for the paper, and that just snowballed into a lot of different things, because you get assignments, you go to different areas in the city to do different photojournalistic things. And then I quickly found out that sports was pretty much my calling. And I just stuck with it, and here I am today.
So which genres do you do other than sports photography?
Well, sport is my passion. Sport has always been my passion. But I guess, so I started, you know, in photojournalism, I guess we could say that was sort of paying not all the bills, but that was, it was, you know, good pocket change for a university student at the time there. And dabbling a little bit of portraiture, just, you know, when you're starting out photography, you try everything, landscapes, portraits, fashion, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I found that I was really good with event work. Working
That fast pace, right?
Yeah, like on the red carpet, sort of entertaining guests. It was more so about the entertainment versus the quality of the photos. it sounds crazy to say, but we for a while here, and I think it went for 7 or 8 consecutive years, we had a fashion week here in Regina. And every year we would, you know, there'll be a big fashion show. And my first year of volunteering at that event, I got assigned to work the red carpet. So just they had a photo wall set up with a step and repeat red carpet. The guests would stop, get their photos taken, and go on. And it was nice. Everybody dressed up really fancy, which is a good excuse for, you know, me to dress up fancy as well. And there's music playing, and, you know, the guests had their drinks and they come in and just sort of make them feel like Hollywood. And I did that for like, you know, five years consecutively. Mm-hmm. And that was really good, because it connected me with a lot of people in town, and just my presence being there with the camera and making them feel comfortable in front of the camera, that led to a lot of different jobs. You know, like if you can make people feel comfortable in front of the camera, you know, people really value that. And if you think about it, that's, you know, as a photographer, you know, that's one of the things that can really help you out, you know, in a great deal. If you can take anybody, a stranger off the street, make them feel comfortable in front of your camera. So I learned to do that pretty much rapid fire. But over the years, I've developed a system where, you know, I'm confident if I pick up a camera, I can pretty much make most people feel comfortable in front of the camera. So that led to a lot of work and a lot of jobs and stuff like that. And then the biggest thing that I've done other than sports photography, and this really was my bread and butter and that paid the bills, was jewelry photography.
Oh, it's different, right? Because it's inanimate objects versus, like, you have to create an emotional connection between you and a product compared to you and a person.
Yes, that is something that you hit the nail on the head there. Mm-hmm. I worked for a company by the name of Hilberg and Burke for about 4 years total. So I worked with them for 3 years while I was still in university, just kind of, you know, contract part-time. And as I finished my degree, they hired me right away and I worked with them full-time for a year. Was embedded with a marketing team there and did all the photography on site. That I was in charge of all the product photography. So learning to shoot jewelry was a challenge. It's very technical. Mm-hmm. You would assume because it's jewelry, you want a macro lens. But I ended up shooting a lot of this stuff just like on my 85 prime. Mm. Just because one of the things that's really tricky about jewelry is a lot of the surfaces are highly reflective. And the closer you get, the more reflections get the pieces can catch.
Okay.
So you want some distance, and you also want to fill the frame. So using an 85mm lens on a high resolution camera like my Nikon D800, and you have the ability to keep your distance, but you can get lights. You have space between the jewelry and the camera where you can pack it with your lights, your bounce cards and all that stuff. And then it's high enough resolution where you can still have some wiggle room to crop in afterwards. Okay. And then any reflections are very small. You can easily mask out, that sort of thing. So it is a process. But shooting, working for that company was great because earrings and necklaces, they aren't like shovels and brooms. They have they're not tools. They're not food. They're not things that are essential to just everyday stuff. So the challenge was like, how do you make people buy something that has sort of no utilitarian value, right? Mm-hmm. So it was all about making emotional connections with the pieces that we had to photograph. So just kind of learning just how to, other than the standard boilerplate like product photography for the website, we did a lot of special projects, a lot of mini campaigns and main campaigns, and just trying to pair the jewelry with certain wardrobes, with certain environments, different locations, different sets, playing with the lighting, the mood.
The creative stuff, right?
Yeah, the creative stuff. And just trying to get people, when they see that piece, on that model, in that setting, they just kind of like, ooh, I want that, right? And trying to figure that out on top of all the technical stuff. I think that whole experience really sharpened my skill set as a photographer.
Well, I can say from looking at some of your stuff, like your commercial lighting is just like, it's impeccable.
Oh, well thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
I owe a lot of that to the, the photographers that I've been able to assist during my career. One mainly, Kiriako, he's a commercial photographer. I learned a lot from him, like how he approaches lighting. He's been in the industry for, I think, 20 plus years, and being able to see a professional work, how they conduct themselves on set, how they use the equipment and why they use the equipment. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate to learn from expert. I'm all about workflow. Workflow is like big for me.
Efficiency, that's like the big thing. If you can time things out and you can, like, it's even down to the keystrokes and knowing like all your shortcuts, right? Because if I can cut 5 seconds of rendering time, if I can cut 5 seconds of clicking around, I'm gonna do it. Because if this is something that I do literally thousands of times within like a month or something like that, I'm saving myself time.
Preach into the choir. I can't edit without this. This is my Wacom tablet right here. Like, and that just like programming these hotkeys, that's
exactly
my thing.
That
just speed.
It's like a weird, like it's like a weird high when you know like time is of the essence. And again, if you're going through like 32 gigs worth of video, if you're going through 32 gigs worth of photos, you can't be sitting there for an extra, like an extra 30 minutes to an hour per project. Is it's a huge deal.
Yeah. Like the thing, you know, you break it down and you just look at it like this. The better you get as a photographer, the more requests you get to come out and do your work. Exactly. And then you just can't be spending that much time on one edit. It just doesn't work. The math doesn't work out. So you've got to get better. You've got to get quicker at editing, mm-hmm. the better you get. And if you're really good at what you're doing, naturally you will get faster, but you also have to think of ways of to optimize what you're doing so that when you get a lot of requests, you don't drag yourself crazy. You can create the quality of work that the people expect you to do, but in a more manageable time for yourself.
Well, yeah, it's being able to make micro decisions within seconds, right? And it's a lot of, that was one of the hard things that I had trouble dealing with for maybe even for like the first 3 to 5 years of my career as a photographer, was which photos are like the keepers and which ones are just, am I going to take away? And it was spending too much time deciding, well, this is like slightly off, but which one do I want? No, you have to be able to just, it's this one. I don't care. The other one's getting deleted, and you just pick and choose and you just delete. And then you keep the lighting consistent, just batch edit everything. It saves you so much time. So what were you doing before you decided to pick up a camera?
You know, I was just an athlete in high school. I did track and field. I was always going away to competitions, competing, that sort of stuff. So that was pretty much my life, like just training, competing. I picked up a camera at the end when we were graduating, because our graduating class wanted someone to put together a slideshow. So I got a camera and took some pictures, and then it kind of went from there.
And you started with video though, right? Like, is that something that you were more drawn to compared to photography for whatever reason?
Yeah. So the video, so I remember in the slideshow, because Facebook was like the thing back then, like it just came out, like everybody's on Facebook tagging people and stuff.
So. It was our TikTok.
Yeah. Facebook was our TikTok back in 2008, like Facebook was like our TikTok. So I pretty much went back on Facebook, kind of downloaded everybody's pictures, compiled it into a slideshow. And then if you know me, I always want to do a little extra. I always want to go a little extra. For some reason, I found out like I can do like these special effects. So I had this idea to like at the end of the slideshow to just sort of do like a like an Iron Man sort of special effect where my palms were like glowing, more like Dragon Ball Z, I guess, like a big orb. And then I just shot it to the sky and it just like blew up in it like confetti fireworks that said congratulations class of 2000, whatever it was. So I somehow got that idea. So the camera that I got, I just bought it off a friend, and I used that camera to record that bit and just sort of keyframed and did all that stuff.
Oh my goodness.
It wasn't After Effects. It was like some other program.
So
that was a hit and people loved that. And then I just started doing like more of that stuff and just odd jobs for like DJs at this time. They like they were just getting their stuff like on MySpace and stuff, and they wanted like a cool little...
Oh my god, MySpace.
Yeah, those. I'm dating myself. I'm going.
No, that's okay. Hey, Tom's still your friend. That's totally cool. No, but so it sounds like you were inherently kind of drawn to the special effects stuff, and that you were willing to put in time to learn all of that because you had something specific visualized for like what the end product would look like.
Yeah, exactly. And that just sort of just opened up a whole new world for me.
What have been some of the biggest challenges you've encountered thus far creating content?
On the photography side of things, I feel I've accomplished pretty much everything that I've set out to do in terms of the style of my images and just what, you know, the impact that I wanted my images to have. But now the challenge for me is trying to do the same thing on the video side and sort of really understand the video space now and potentially where it may go in the future, because I still feel it's a lot.
There's a lot that's evolving and yes. How that's going, right? And there are a lot of different kinds of ways to shoot video and create content. Basically, is like, it can come from a phone, it can come from an SLR, it can come from a mirrorless, it can come from an action camera. There are so many different ways, and it's kind of trying to figure out what works best for who the end, who that's going to be shown to.
Yeah, exactly. I feel a challenge right now is that the platforms are dictating the content and not the other way around. Not the content. When you want to make some content or tell a story right now, the first thing you got to think about is which platform it's going to be on, which is sad. But, I'm really trying to see and understand, like, because I really like telling stories and telling stories about athletes. And, it could put together a good story, but then it needs to live on a platform.
And picking the right platform is detrimental to the success of how well-received that piece is.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's trying to understand the space, which impacts the workflow. Because right now you want to tell a story, then you've got to at minimum have it ready for two platforms or two formats. So two platforms, you can go Facebook, Instagram, or Instagram, YouTube, or you can just go on Instagram, but you can have horizontal or vertical or living, those two different types on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to figure out, like, how do you share this story? And, there are people in that space that do it very well. There are many different examples. So for me, I'm just trying to explore what would be the best approach. And the trick, the hardest challenge is that everything's changing every day. There's a new algorithm.
Constantly. Yep.
Which impacts the workflow side of things. So it's like, oh my God, I thought I was going to go down this road, but now things have changed. So pump the brakes a little bit. Like it's that sort of a constant struggle back and forth, a solution that can sort of have some legs to it. And, you do it today and this can last for the next 2-3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not as effective, but then just sort of look to see how can we get people drawn to it. One approach might be just to do it more.
Do it on MySpace. Right?
Something like that,
What's like the largest composite photo that you've composed?
Oh God. Women's soccer teams, 30 plus athletes. And the reason why we did it is because given the COVID protocols, we couldn't have everybody together at the same time, which is no problem for me because I always work lighting each subject individually. So I take a frame of each person that's going to be in the final edit and bring them together. So during the COVID, over the past 2 years or so, I actually got a lot of, I didn't get a lot of work compared to a normal year, but the work that I did get was specifically requested for that particular technique with compositing, just different frames together to make a big group photo. So I think that one recently was one of the biggest ones, but I think, and that's just boring. It's, a composite of
How long does that take you to do? Like when you're putting 30 people into one frame.
Yeah. So we spoke about it a little bit earlier about efficiencies and getting fast at what you do. Like right now, it takes me about 20, 25 minutes for one person. So doing that, it's and for me, I can only go four hours, 5 hours. An edit like that would take me, a couple of days to complete.